Father God, we just thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you have done and everything that you are doing. Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for them and that we'll fulfill that plan and purpose. And Father God, we thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void. But Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Father God, help us to take the love of Jesus to the highways and the byways and the people who are down and out and share the love of Jesus with the lost and the dying and hurting world. We thank you, Father, for revival to this generation, revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this city. We thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing. But Father God, we thank you that today we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, they won't see me ministering, they will see you ministering through me. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we just thank you for the anointing of God that saturates us today, that just changes us in an instant. We thank you for everything you have done, everything you are doing both here and around the world, and we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. It's a good day. Amen. Just want to let you know, after service, obviously, we always normally stand at the back and shake hands. I'm going to forego that today. Some of you know that my middle boy, Blake, he's 19. He's joined the U.S. Marine Corps. And so he's downtown Oklahoma City tonight at a hotel, and he ships off tomorrow morning. And so I'm going to go there for a few minutes and spend a little bit of time with him before his curfew tonight. And so that when then he's going to be gone for 12 weeks. So, you know, I'm going to do that. So just FYI, normally you shake hands, but tonight I'm going to forego that. All right. Hopefully that's okay. Amen. Well, it's a new year. It's 2017. I mean, like last Sunday, I was in St. Louis, Missouri. Well, this time last Sunday, I was driving home from St. Louis, Missouri. Had a wonderful time there. It was a little odd. This first time I've kind of really been away I've been away, but I've never been placed when I didn't have anybody else with me to celebrate the new year with, but it's okay. I mean, I lived, and it turned the new year, and it was fine. We all made it. I just want to say a few things about the new year. I'm sure Mom, or I'm sure Dad, actually probably had a message about the new year. But, you know, I got a few words. I don't know if they're for you, they're for me. But, you know, that it's going to be a year of new beginnings. And the other word I got was restoration. He said that he would restore things you thought would never be restored before. Maybe relationships, maybe things like that. But, you know, really, this year will be what you make of it. Because I'm just going to say I was a little disappointed at the end of the year last year. A lot of people were talking about how crummy the 2016 was. And I'm not saying it was or wasn't, but you know what? We have what we say we have. And what really happens is, no matter what year it is, or no matter whether prophet so-and-so or brother so-and-so prophesied that this is going to be the best year ever or whatever, it doesn't really matter. What matters is we do have a thief, the devil, El Diablo. In John 10:10, we all know that. He says, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's going to try to make this the worst year you ever had. And, you know, he'll try to make next year the worst year you ever had. But, you know, and what really, the difference between us having a good year or a bad year, or what are we going to do when the devil tries to give us a bad year? What are we going to do, you know, when the devil tries to throw something at your face? Are you just going to say, well, I guess it's another bad year. I guess I'm going to have to, you know, just about a year this year as it did last year. No, I mean, you're going to have to decide, you know what? God's with me. I mean, Jesus said, right there in John 10:10, he says, you know, that I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, that you're going to have a good life. So, you know, it doesn't matter what the devil throws your way. It doesn't matter how many weapons are formed against you. They're not going to prosper according to the word if we don't let it prosper. We have to resist the devil. So I just want to, my word to you this year is decide that you're going to have a good year and keep deciding every day you're going to have a good year. And when things get bad, decide there's going to be a good year regardless of what someone tries to, you know. In fact, that's what you should decide every day. You know, sometimes we get up, we go to work, and someone tries to make us have a bad day. I mean, I'm not saying they intentionally said, you know what, my goal in life today is to make you have a bad day. That probably wasn't their goal in life. But somebody says something, and then, you know, if you respond a certain way and you kind of get into the argument or whatever, it could even happen before you even get to work. It could happen between husband and wife. You know, I'm not saying there was a huge fight, but maybe someone didn't make the Wheaties right or something. I don't know, you know. It just happens sometimes. But you know, just decide, you know, decide right now, or just should have decided last week, hey, I'm going to have a good year, you know, because I just get tired of, because I was thinking about this. I'm looking on Facebook, you know, because I was by myself, I really had more time to look at other people's posts and stuff. And, you know, people were like really excited about 2017 because they were talking about how bad it was. And then if you look back to last year, but you know, at the end of 2015, they wrote the same kind of stuff. So I think that the problem wasn't their year, it was them. And here's the deal. Technically, your problem is not going to be a year, and Matt and I have been you. The devil's going to still be there. And my grandfather one time was having a meeting, and somebody came up and said, you know, Brother Hagin, will you pray with me? The devil won't attack me anymore. And he said, well, you want me to pray you're going to die and go to heaven? She goes, no, I'm not ready to die. And he said, well, the only place the devil will not attack you is in heaven. Here on earth, he has power, he has authority, and you should have figured that out in Genesis chapter 1. You know, after you know, God made Adam and Eve, and then all of a sudden they're in the Garden of Eden, the closest thing to heaven on the earth. But guess what? The devil is also there, and the devil tempted them. And so he's still here, all right? I'm not trying to exalt the devil. I'm just trying to say, you know what? Jesus told us there's somebody out there that their purpose in life is to screw yours up. Their purpose in life, have you ever analyzed the words steal, kill, and destroy? I mean, you know, to kill you means like you're not here anymore. All right. To destroy, you know, could actually, you know, maybe they don't destroy you. Maybe you're living life, but you're not living life abundantly. You're just getting along. You're just passing through time. It's just like there are a number of people who are married because the paper says they're married, but their marriage isn't really that good. Sometimes they sleep in separate rooms. Sometimes they don't even talk to each other. But they're married. But that's not an abundant life. That's not a good life to live. I mean, you know, but you know, he'll try to destroy our life, our family, our kids. I mean, that's what the devil does. And so many times we need to realize that's the devil doing. And the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So what do you do? Well, what I do personally, I say, Mr. Devil, you have no right. You have no authority. You have no authority to make my year bad. You have no authority to bring sickness. You have no authority to do anything. In the name of Jesus, you have to leave. You have to go. You know, because that's, you know, resisting someone is not saying, well, devil, I sure hope that maybe you might, you know, feel like that you might not bother me anymore. That's not resisting. If I'm going to resist something, you know, if there's something coming at me, I'm going to try to resist them. Like if someone's trying to come at me, I'm going to put my arms out. I'm going to stop them. I'm going to do whatever, you know, even if it might even get physical. All right. You're going to try to stop something. And that's what we should do with the devil. We don't just let him run over us. But that wasn't my message today. That was last week. But, you know, I just kind of get tired of Christians, not tired of Christians, period, but just tired of you know, Christians that, you know, every year they're having crummy years and talking about, well, hopefully this is going to be a better year. But, you know, there's no hope about it. You got to just believe. I mean, you got to trust God. Amen. You know, like it says in Proverbs, trust the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your understanding. Trust him with everything and let him direct your path. You know, and the thing about it is I think the difference between your year is going to be what are you going to do when the devil attacks you? Because how you respond can change your year, could change your month, could change your day. You know, and, you know, how do we respond? We can respond, you know, and say, well, another crummy year. But at some point in time, you're going to have to decide, I'm going to do this different this year. I'm going to, you know, and a lot of times, you know, I have found that in my own life. I went through a lot of times letting things bother me more than they needed to. I mean, you know, there are situations, in a People thought that was a big deal. I thought it was a big deal. But then, you know, things are not always a big deal, because a lot of times people say stuff, but if you don't respond in a certain way, it dies right there. A lot of times it's your response that causes the issue. Now, so, but they were mean. So people are mean. I mean, that just happens. I mean, you know, they're people. And I have found out one thing in life, that hurting people say hurtful things. And so a lot of times I make excuses for people. Well, they're just hurting. I mean, you know, yeah, but they did this. It doesn't matter what someone done. You know, what matters is what Christ did for you. So it really matters. You know, Christ loved you so much that he died upon the cross to give you life, to give you an opportunity to live life and more abundantly. And I tell you what, an abundant life is not being mad at people either. I found out that, you know, people do not get happy when they're mad. And so at some point in time, you're going to have to let some stuff go and say, you know what, my deal is I'm going to let go and let God take care of the situation. But what I'm going to talk about, I guess it kind of goes into it, is a scripture that all of us know, all of us can probably quote, over in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse number 19, because it just kind of hit me a little bit. I actually read this scripture a little bit different than most people think about it, because I thought about it in a little different way. And, you know, Philippians 4:19 from the New King James says, "And my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You know, first of all, it says God is going to supply your need. Notice it does not say that you're going to supply all your need. It says God will supply all your need. And a lot of times people get all hung up on how am I going to do something to make this work? Well, back to Proverbs, you got to trust God. Trust God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. You know what? Trust in the Lord with everything you got. But, you know, it says that my God shall supply all your need. And I started thinking about the word need. And I think because whenever it talks about need, then it talks about riches in heaven. That we simply, because it talks about riches, and we simply think, well, need means financial. And it does. But your need means whatever you need. Because his riches are enough for whatever you need. And it might be a financial need, and this has been a financial scripture for most people, but you know what? Right now, it's what they call flu season, and there's people getting the flu and all that stuff. Well, maybe what you need is not to get the flu. Now, it doesn't matter. You can have all the money in the world and still get the flu. I mean, you know, that's not a financial thing. I mean, the richest people in the world get the flu. But the fact of the matter is, what you need is you need to be healthy. And so you can invoke this scripture that he's going to supply everything that you need, whether it's health, maybe you're going through time of depression. Maybe you haven't been, you know, it's been a little tough or whatever. You know, he can be your comforter. He can help you. I mean, he can be your peacemaker. I mean, you know, it talks about the peace that passes all understanding overtaking you. Well, you know what? Maybe that's what you need. And so sometimes we don't realize that God has provided everything we need through Jesus Christ. Amen. So when Jesus came to this, whenever, you know, like I said, John 10:10, we read, said, "I came, you might have life more abundantly and have it more abundantly." He came to provide everything that you need. You know, one thing, you know, obviously talking about healing, it says, "By his stripes you were healed." Now, when it says you were healed, meaning that you don't have to be sick, it means, but it doesn't mean he's not going to try to put sickness and disease on you. And my grandfather said many times for many years, he talked about the last headache he had was August 1933. And he said, you know, in however many years it had been, 60 something years, 70 years or whatever, whenever he's telling the story, I guess it wouldn't be 70, but he would say, he said, "But I've passed up many marvelous opportunities to have a headache." And so I asked him, what's a marvelous opportunity to have a headache? He says, "Well, many times my head would start hurting. But instead of having a headache, I would take authority over that headache. I would resist the devil," say, "Uh-uh." You know, he said, you know, he would say, "It's too late to start having headaches now. I mean, you know, if I've lived all these times without a headache, why do I have to have a headache today?" But what usually happens to us is our head starts hurting, and like, well, there's another headache. I have these chronic migraine things, or I have this, or I have that. I don't like when people say they have something, I mean, it's theirs. I don't want to take ownership of a disease. You know, like I actually, well, in current times, they actually, the Lou Gehrig's disease, and they named the disease after a guy because he was someone well-known who had it. Now we call it ALS. A lot of times people call that whatever that means. I mean, I know what it means, but it's, I wouldn't want a disease named after me. I mean, you think about it, your name is associated with a disease. It's kind of like in the Bible, we read about blind Bartimaeus. Well, his first name was blind. I mean, it wasn't really. I'm sure he had another name, but they called him. But, it was like every time they ran across a guy, oh, there's blind Bartimaeus over there. I mean, it was an adjective that represented the man. And, you don't want that. But a lot of times, that's how we describe our own days. That's how we describe how we feel. That's how, we actually put an adjective and we take ownership over something we don't have to take ownership of. We don't have to have a headache. We don't have to be sick. We don't have to be depressed. But what happens is when something comes in, we, instead of resisting the devil, we start having a pity party. Well, God, why has this happened to me? What's going on? But we need to realize that our God is so good that he's already provided a way to supply all our need, whatever it might be, whether it's financial, physical, spiritual, emotional, every area of your life. And sometimes it seems that some Christians have got a hold of certain areas. And it's like, man, they don't have issues with this, but there are certain areas that the devil is just pounding them with. I mean, some people know how to take authority over what it's healing or financial situation, but when it comes to depression, they don't know what to do. Well, what do? You do the same thing. You thank God that your God loves you so much that he sent Jesus Christ, for God loved the world, that he sent his only begotten son to be, a sacrificial lamb for us. I mean, that's how much God loves us. God loves us so much that he gave us his only son. And Jesus loves us so much that he came that our needs might be met. And the thing about it is, a lot of people say, well, I know it's for me, but they don't take a hold of something that's for them. They're trying to figure out, well, how do I take a hold of it? You take a hold of it by letting go. By just simply saying, God, I'm going to let you take control. It's funny because when it gets to points where there's nothing else you can do, it's a lot easier to let go. I mean, there's points sometimes it gets to a point where you have no power. There's nothing more you can do. But it shouldn't get to that point. As soon as something strikes, you got to say, God, I'm going to put you in control of this situation. Because, and if a God is in control, you don't sit around and worry about it all the time. Do you understand? If you're worried about something all the time, then God's not in control. First of all, why are you worried about something if God is taking care of it? I mean, if you have something in life, let's just say you have a financial bill. Let's just say it's not really that much. Let's just say it's $500. $500 bill. And let's just say, now this is not true, okay? I'm giving an example, okay? Because I don't want people to say, well, where's my $500? Let's just say you had a $500 bill, and we were talking. Don't tell me about your bill. I'm not going to give you back door anyway. So anyway, you had a bill, and we were talking, and I said, God has blessed me, and I just want to I want to take care of that, And so because most of you trust me, you would quit worrying about that bill. Even if you didn't have $500, even if I didn't give you the $500 immediately, because if I said, hey, on Wednesday, I'll give you the $500, then you wouldn't even worry about it. You're like, even though you looked at it, you say, well, I got that covered. Because you put that much trust in me. But how much more trust do we put in God than a human being? Amen. All right? But you say, but I owe more than $500. I owe $10,000. And Craig, you don't probably have $10,000 that you want to donate to my cause. Or what? It doesn't matter how much. See, what happens is we look at something that looks big, and we're thinking, "How is this going to happen? What are we supposed to do?" And that's why we have to go back to Mark chapter 11 when we're looking at a mountain, and Jesus said, "Speak to the mountain, and it has to move." And see, what happens is the devil comes in with this ball of stuff that's coming in, and it feels like a lot of times, I don't know, maybe I've been here before, where it seems one thing's going wrong over here, and then all of a sudden, when you're in the middle of dealing with that, something else goes wrong over there. And it's like two things hit together, and then something else piles on, you know. But you have to decide, you know what? Your God shall supply all your needs. You have to actually think the scripture is true. Now, how does he provide that? Through Jesus Christ. Now we have been told about putting on the mind of Christ, about renewing our mind. See, because if we think naturally in our natural mind, all we're going to think about is how am I going to do it. But when we decide to put on the mind of Christ, you know, Christ says, I got this. It's no problem. It won't be an issue. And so whenever this is what happens a lot of times, you come to a service like this and we start talking about it, and you're like, oh, no big deal. Then you go home and you open up the mail and there's another late statement or whatever, and you forget about everything that we talked about, because you know what? God's still God when you're not at church. And Jesus is still Jesus when you're not in church. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That means wherever you are, he's with you. And being a born-again Christian, we have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us. Wherever we go, he's right there with us. All we have to do is call upon him. I mean, we don't have to make a phone call. We don't have to send an email. We don't have to send a text or anything. All we have to do is say, Lord, help me. We don't have to look for Jesus. I mean, think about this. In the Old Testament, the New Testament, whenever Jesus was there, and we hear a story about blind Bartimaeus and other people, and they would have to find Jesus, or that's wait till him comes through their town, and then cry out for help or go to him. But we don't have to do that. He's with us. Wherever we are, there he is. He's right there. And he's ready, willing, and able to help you. And he said, you know what? Jesus has already came to provide for all your need. And so we get all caught up in our need. But you know what? It's already been provided for through Christ Jesus. And so if we will renew our mind and think about this. Now let me say this. This is not as, you know, some people say, well, yeah, I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to sit at home. No, you got to work your job. You got to do what you need to do in the natural. And let God take care of the rest. I always believe, do everything you can in the natural. That's why my grandfather was always big on going to doctors. He said that one of the best things ever was a Christian doctor. Prayer and medicine working together. You know, I'm really big on finding out what's wrong with you, because I know people who think that they have one thing and it's really something else. And they were praying for, like I said, you know, the best example I have is a guy that was praying for a good heart and find out his heart was fine. He was having stomach issues and he was having gas pains that was feeling like a heart attack. And so when he thought he was having a heart attack, he began to keep praying for his heart, and his heart was still good. But the pain didn't go away because it wasn't his heart he needed to pray for. He needed to take care of some other situations in his life. Maybe he might need to change some of the way he ate his food or whatever too. I mean, you know, maybe there were certain things that were not, didn't settle well with his stomach or whatever it might be. And so, but it turned out that all he had to do was take some medicine for that. And his heart was completely fine. But he took forever to go to the doctor because he was concerned and he didn't want the doctors to tell him he was having heart problems. Well, you know, I do know some people too that they were afraid to go to the doctor and they died before they ever got to the doctor to tell them they were having a heart problem. Wouldn't you want to know? I mean, I would want to know what I have to know what to believe God for. I mean, I'm always for doctors. But no matter what, you know, Jesus came to meet all your need, whatever it might be. Whatever, you know, and so what do I need? What do I need? I need this, I need that. And, of course, your need is changing every day because, you know, maybe tomorrow you wake up and there's something else that you have need of that you didn't have, you know, like I said, if you wake up and it's, you know, it's 0 degrees and you don't have a coat, maybe you have need of a coat. But then because we live in Oklahoma, 2 days later, it's 65. And so hopefully you have a lot of short sleeve shirts because you know, we you know, it gets hot in the summertime, so, you know, but it's just one of these weird times, you know, that's just the way it is. And that's why the song Oklahoma, about where the wind comes sweeping down the plains, you know, it's just a normal song. I mean, you know, it's just life here. And we're getting used to everything, because it doesn't matter whether it be tornadoes, earthquakes, whatever it might be. We just roll with the punches and know that God's for us, not against us. And if God be for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. It doesn't matter what would come up, you know, because we have to remember at all times, God is always for us. He's always for us. But, you know, I never can read Philippians 4:19 without reading Philippians 4:13. And it says this, says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, but I don't like the way a lot of people read this, because, you know, when they read that, they sometimes really read the first part, I can do all things, and they forget about Christ. It doesn't say you can do all things. It says you can do all things with him. With his strength, you can do all things. And so really what it's saying is you and Christ together can do all things. And a lot of times we try to do all things without him. But you have to trust in him. See, through Christ, there is nothing you cannot do. And so, because, you know, he'll help you do whatever you need to do. But you have to understand, you're a team. So you have to understand, this year when you're living life and you're going through life, you and Jesus can get through everything. You know, it's not just you, it's you and Jesus. Everywhere you go, it's you and Jesus. You need to be reminded every day that when you walk into a room, Jesus is with you. And I'm not trying to remind you in order to make sure you do better or whatever. I want to remind you, you know what? You're never alone with Jesus. I mean, it's really hard to have a pity party when you know that someone's with you, helping you, that's right there, that's provided everything you need. You know, it's not about you, it's about you and Jesus. And, you know, a lot of times we need to change our perspective. You know, you're not facing that situation by yourself. And there are certain things, you know, that throughout the year you're going to face, some things you never faced before. You know, but you know what? You and Jesus can get through it. It's not, now I know the Bible says that you can do all things, but it says you can do all things through Christ. So really you need to think about, it's not just you doing all things, it's you and Christ doing all things. And when you get that perspective, it's a little bit different. Because see, what happens is, in our own mind, when we just, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, but that we all think, well, okay, I got to do it. Sometimes we think that we have to decide and we have to figure out on our own how to do it. You know, there's been many times I didn't know how I was going to do something. I didn't know how I could accomplish it, you know, because I haven't been trained for this. I haven't never thought I would have to go through this. I mean, there's been many times I've been in the hospital room with somebody going through a situation that I've never gone through, you know, and it's hard to, you know, I mean, you know, I can read what scriptures say, but I don't really know how they feel. Now, there's been certain times we go through a situation where you've gone through a certain situation like that, and so you know exactly how they feel, and it's easier for you to minister. But there are so many times I've been in a hospital room with somebody, you know, dealing with stuff, and you know, but I found out that every time I would just ask the Lord to help me in that situation, and he would give me the words to say that were comforting. He would give me scriptures that I mean, you know, that I knew were in the Bible. I didn't know where they were, but he would, you know, he would show me where they were so I could show them to these people. You know, because you know what? Our God's amazing. You know, and, I mean, that's just, he's just amazing. And he wants to help us, and he's there with us at all times. And I think so many times we forget, because when the devil comes and, like I said, trying to destroy our year, and things happen. I mean, life happens. I would like to come and tell you every day is going to be great and wonderful and rosy and nothing's going to happen, but that's not true. You're going to have challenges and opportunities every day. It's what you deal with them. It's how you deal with them is going to depend on whether you have another crummy year or you have the best year ever. Because you know what? I started thinking about, you know, 2016. Obviously, you know, I've had some health challenges. I spent more time in the hospital this year than I have in I don't know when. You know, but I think about, maybe my perspective of the whole year is just really, maybe I'm just thinking, am I just weird? Because I don't think it was that bad of a year. I really don't. I mean, I'm not saying I've had better years. You know, But, you know, I've had a lot of challenges. But, you know, one thing, too, it's nice to know you have, you know, that I'd overcome those challenges by the end of the year. So that helps, too. You know, I mean, but I think it's, you know, my perspective, I have a hard time thinking that it's a bad time. Because I start, you know, every time I start thinking about how bad it might be for me, I think about someone I know that's having a whole lot worse. I mean, there's people out there that are a whole lot worse shaped than you are. I mean, you know, they always say that the fact that you actually have running water and lights and heat and air conditioned, I mean, you're better than most of the world right there. I don't care how crummy your house or your apartment might be, or whether it's your house or your apartment or you know, who owns it, it doesn't matter. The fact that you have a place to be able to come and get out of the weather, that makes you rich in a lot of people's, things. You're thinking, well, look, I mean, how I'm not rich by any means. But the thing about it is, I mean, people, there are people that have it worse, you know, and sometimes we try to have pity parties and think about, well, it's just so bad. It's not really that bad. I mean, you know, whenever you know Jesus Christ, it's not that bad. And, you know, and really the things of this earth are temporal anyway. I mean, you know, you can't take riches with you. And why would you need to? Because, you know, when you go to heaven, you're going to have everything you need anyway. So it doesn't really matter. I mean, you know, whatever you have here is going to be, you know, meaningless, really. And the main thing that we have to be more concerned about is we're concerned about more about people than we should stuff. Because, you know, it's nice to have stuff. But you know, what's more important is that you minister to people. And but Jesus has already come to meet all your needs, whether it be physical, financial, emotional, whatever it might be. And I want you to have a good year this year. And I want you to know that the devil will attack you or try to attack you. See, the thing is, you get to determine whether he's going to try to attack you or he's actually going to attack you. And remember the game that people used to play, Red Rover, let somebody come over or whatever, and sometimes you would let them through and sometimes you would hold strong where they couldn't, you know, they would try to break through and, you know. Well, the deal is, you got to hold strong and he can't come over. You know, mother may I know, you may not, devil. You know, the Bible says that he's looking for who he may devour, meaning that he can't devour you if you know your authority in Christ Jesus. Amen. And, you know, and it really comes out to, you know, my whole world is knowing who you are in Christ. You know, because we have to sometimes get our natural mind out of the way. Because I found out whenever you get over to your natural mind, it's a whole lot easier to get angry. It's a whole lot easier to flip out and try to figure out how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And you have to understand, it's not just you, it's you and Jesus. Let him figure out how, and then he can lead you and guide your steps. I mean, you know, I've had the Lord lead me and tell me things, you know, and help me through situations that I didn't know how it was going to work. And, you know, and I found that it was a lot easier than I really thought it was going to be. But you know what? The Lord, I mean, Jesus loves you. I understand that. You might not be a little children, and I know you used to sing the song, Jesus loves the little children of the world, and you've grew up now, and you're thinking, well, maybe I got older, he doesn't love me anymore. No, he still loves you, regardless whether you're a little child or you're an old child or whatever you might be. He still loves you, just like your parents still love you, no matter how old you get. You know, and it's funny, because my parents, my dad especially, he doesn't know how old he is a lot of times. I mean, we've been, you know, talking, you know, certain places. He says something about, you know, I feel bad for that old man. He's, you know, he's having trouble. I said, that old man's like your age. In fact, there's many people that are, you know, my dad gets around real well for his own age, but a lot of people that are actually younger than him that don't get it well, and he calls him an old man. I'm like, but Dad, you're older than that person. You know, he doesn't, you know, sometimes realize how old he really is. You know. But even as we get older, Jesus still loves us. He still cares about us. He's still with us. He's still never going to leave us, never going to forsake us. You know, and I think positively that Jesus, he didn't come for me to have this situation. He doesn't want me to have the situation. He doesn't want me to have to go through this. I mean, you know, it's just like I don't want my kids to have to go through tough times. I mean, I think that's one of the toughest things, you know, for me right now. And my son's going into the military. It'd be good for him. I know he'll strive well, but I know, you know, the Marine boot camp, I mean, I know that they'll break him down. I know he'll have some tough times. And the fact of knowing that I'm not there to help him or you know, and it's just growing up. It's the way it happens. But you know what? That's how our own Heavenly Father is. I mean, he wants to help us when we're having tough times. You know, and I believe that he's up there thinking, you know what? Just help me. Just ask me. Just ask me. I want to provide. I've already provided for you. And all I have to do is, I can take care of it if you let me. I can take care of it if you let me. You know, it says, lean not to your own understanding, but all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. And I tell you, I mean, you know, you can have the best year ever. You can have the worst year ever. It's going to depend upon you, not upon someone's prophecy, not upon, you know, what brother. In fact, you know, no, I guess it was good because I'm online quite a bit, and I didn't read anybody's prophecy or whatever. So I mean, you know, I'm sure some people got some prophecies. I didn't find them and didn't really care, because I don't care what someone prophesies about the year, and that's fine. I mean, I'm not saying we can't prophesy about a year, and you know what? But really, what I care about is that I know I'm facing 2017, and Jesus is with me every step I make. You know what? He's going to get me through every situation that I need him to get me through. Whether someone prophesies it's going to be a bad year or a good year doesn't really matter. What matters is that I know how I'm going to get through this. I know I'm going to the other side. I know I'm going to get through this year and the next year until the Lord comes back. I'm going to make it. I can make it. I know who to depend on. And I know that God loves me that much that he sent his son Jesus to help to meet my needs. To help me get through it. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person here. And we thank you, Father, to help us to understand, especially when we're going through those tough times, help us to understand that you're with us, that you're leading us, you're guiding us, and you're helping us in every situation. And we can get through this through your help. And we just thank you for it now. We thank you, Father, if anyone is here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they'll make him their Lord and Savior. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight and you never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of your life and you want to tonight, lift your hand, we want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Greg, I want to rededicate my life to God today. If that's you, lift your hand. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we don't see any hands, but we thank you for each and every person that's here. We thank you that you love them, that you're with them, that you're helping them. And we just give you the praise, honor, and glory for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go, is there anyone here that needs healing in their body? Like I said, I know the flu season's been around us and people been having the flu. Anybody need healing? I want to minister to you if you have. I want to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, just come down here. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. So for somebody else, Tyler? It's for what? For Pam. All right. You all know Pam. She's been sick because we got her prayer cloth for her. Father God, we thank you for Pam. We thank you for her life. We thank you, Father, right now as we lay hands upon this cloth. We thank you for the healing power of God flowing into her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We thank you, Father, for healing her. And we thank you, Father, for Tyler. We thank you, Father, for being with him. And we thank you, Father, for just touching him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the healing power of God that's working in this body right now. We thank you, Father, for just ministering to her like never before. We thank you, Father, for touching her. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. If you're a first-time visitor, that we have Our team's going to come and they're going to take you to a place. We have a special gift for you. So just go with them for a few moments. And you know, we're glad to have you here. Amen. It's always good to have visitors. And we encourage you to come back anytime you're in this area. Or if you live in the area, we encourage you to come here. Amen. All right. If you want to sign up for the basketball game. And we went, it was 2 years ago, Greg, when we went? 2 years ago. We had a great time, you know. You know, it's the D League. It's not the Thunder. It's the D League, but it's also not Thunder prices either. You know, well, some if you like concessions, they are. But I mean, as far as the tickets, $12 for you know good seats. You just can't, you can't buy that one. But, you know, and same with Super Bowl party. It's not about the sporting event. Sporting event is just something we can come together and have fellowship around, all right? But it's about coming together as a church and having a wonderful time. Amen. Well, like I said, I'm going to head off to downtown to see my son. I love you guys. Appreciate you. And everybody have a wonderful year. And remember, Jesus is always with you. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Take care.